Amen?
Amen.
How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Cody's smiling. That's a good sign, right?
There you go.
All right, we're going to get going this morning. We have the honor of Brian Wilkerson, Esquire, going to teach this morning. So, we had to spend big bucks to get him all the way out there from where he lives, especially to pay the gas in a Corvette.
Oh, ouch.
All right. Brian, who would you like to open you up?
Yeah, I want Cody to open up.
Okay. Father God, we just thank you. And we ask for forgiveness for Brian for messing up the mic.
Yes,
and Lord,
sir.
We just thank you for the food. We ask you that you bless this teaching, Lord. Bless Brian. And help us just focus our minds on you, Lord, and just put everything aside that's just asking for our attention, that we can just give our 100% attention to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let him have the mic. Bob, let him keep the mic for a minute.
Keep the mic.
Well, we're going to start out. We're going to read in Ephesians 1, verse 15 through 23. This is the theme of the teaching today. Cody, read it with enthusiasm.
For this reason.
More enthusiasm.
Come on. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Thank you, Cody. When the Godfather Bob gave me my teaching, he gave me this little thing, and he highlighted what he wanted me to teach on. I said, oh, you're making it easy on me, Bob. I appreciate that. And what he wanted me to teach on was God's great power that not only that he has, but it's available for us. And also, do we believe that God gives us the power to do what he asks us to do?
Yes.
Does anybody think that God's going to ask you to do something, but he won't give you the power to do it? No. So the first thing I did is I looked up the definition of power. And it's this, the ability to act or produce an effect. How much more of an effect can we have by having God's power? Amen? Jesus said we could move mountains even if we had the tiniest of faith. Right? There's a story in the Bible where a man, he asked Jesus to heal him. But before Jesus healed the man, you know, he stopped and he asked him. He says, do you believe that I can heal you? You know? So we have to ask ourselves a question, you know. Do you believe God can use you, no matter what? Sometimes we doubt, though, right? Yep. Sometimes that doubt. Yeah, you know, God could use you here, but can he really use you in this area? Well, if he's calling you to do something, don't you think he's going to equip you and give you that power, Ricardo? Right? Amen. And a lot of that, it starts right up here in the mind. You know, if you don't think you can do it, you don't think, well, God can't use me, if you have that mentality, well, God, you know, I'm just a low-life guy from Malvindale. God can't use me. Well, I guess he won't, right, if you have that mentality. And would you ask your kids, Ricardo, would you ask your daughter, to do something if you knew she couldn't do it? Right? Fold the clothes, do the laundry. She can do that now, right? So when we think of power, we think of, you know, doing mighty things and this and that for God and all this other stuff. But, you know, the same power that, you know, not only helps us to do God's will and do great things, but he also gives us power to overcome like sickness and tragedies in our life and endure trials. That takes power. That takes strength to overcome things. If anybody's been through a trial, or anybody been through a trial? Roger? Beth? Amen? You know, when you're going through the middle of something, I went through a trial almost a year, and it was trying, say the least. Yes, and crying. And Christy was sighing. But, you know, God used several people just to encourage me. Almost everybody here come up to me. How you doing? What's going on? I'm praying for you. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it was just really encouraging. You know, Roger, give me phone calls, and just other people, Kenny, other, you know, Bob, whatnot. You know, we have to have the mentality that, you know, we can get through any trial that he allows us to go through, but it's with his power and his strength. It's not in our own. You know, you get these people, oh, I can do this, I can do this. Well, you know, with Christ, hey, we're relying on his strength to get us through this. And it makes me think of that pastor, he's in Iran, Syed Abedini. You know, we make the worst nuclear deal in history with Iran, our country did, and we're going to trust them not to make a nuclear bomb. That's wonderful. And President Obama, he had met with Abedini's wife, you know, probably about 6 months ago, and says, oh, that's going to be a top priority. Top priority is to get, you know, your husband out of there. Well, they signed the deal, they did this and that, and that pastor, he's still in prison.
Wasn't even brought up as part of the negotiation.
Nope, wasn't even brought up. There's a couple other guys in there, too, that, you know, that from our country. But I also read this. By the way, he's been in there over 1,000 days in an Iranian jail. Brian, could you imagine that?
I was just going to say, in regards to that, yeah, and I'm waiting to see when he gets out, if he gets out, how many men were converted in that jail. You know, because we always talk about it's when the church is persecuted is when the church grows. And like the Apostle Paul, when he was in jail, that's when he did the greatest amount of his work, writing the epistles. People were allowed to come and visit him. People knew where he was at. And he wrote that the gospel's not chained or it's not locked in. So we never know what will happen. And yes, we look from the naturalistic point of view, this is terrible for this guy to be in jail. However, what is God using him in that circumstance at this time to accomplish, which is far exceeds anything we might ever think?
Well, I want to thank Pastor Don for stealing my thunder.
Well, anybody that dressed like me, Chief?
Because, yes, yes. I was going to mention that probably about 6-8 months ago, they were interviewing his wife, and she was talking about how these Muslim prisoners over there with him are converting to Christ. So there is a lot of people that are coming to the Lord because of him. But there might be one thing you didn't know about him, because he's a pastor, he's an American citizen. All he has to do is say one thing, and they'll let him out of prison. Jesus isn't Lord. I recant what I said, and I serve Allah. And they said they'll let him walk. You know, I'm thinking, man, what kind of, you know, even, you know, you might be tempted to lie and say, okay, you know, you know, get out of here. Just say this one little thing, God forgive me. No, he won't do it. And you got to think about that great power, you know, that God has given him just to withstand what's going on. Amen. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. You know, do we believe that that's the same Holy Spirit Jesus had back then? Do we believe that's the same Holy Spirit we have now? Ronnie, do you believe that? Yeah. We do believe that. Amen? Acts 1:8, Bob's favorite verse. Jesus says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." What will we receive?
Power.
Power, right? Well, what's this power for? Is it to glorify ourselves? Ricardo, is it to glorify ourselves? No. Glorify Him. Amen. That's exactly right. In John 15:5, Jesus tells His disciples, "Apart from Me, you can do nothing." You know, it's a lot of times we try to do things in our own strength and our own power, and I'm guilty. There's times, I don't really need God. I don't need You in this area. I'm good in this area. I'll take care of this. Don't worry. Has anybody ever done that? No, God, I can handle this. I'm good at finance. You know, and try to do something without praying about it. Boom, you fall straight on your face. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Amen. In John 17:11, Jesus said this. He says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one." The power of that name. You know, you could talk about God all you want, all day long, wherever you go. Most people won't, you know, be offended or disagree or whatever. But you mentioned Jesus, Kenny. What happens? Yeah, right? All of a sudden you mentioned Jesus, like, what? So I'm going to read a story here, one of Pastor Don's favorite stories here. But we have to be plugged into that power, right? You have to have that relationship with the Lord to have that power. Amen? You can't just be, I heard about Pastor Don and that Jesus he knows and whatever. And yeah, I'll use that power. No. You have to have that power yourself. Have that Holy Spirit in you. So if one of my favorite stories is Acts 19:13 through 16. And I know we've all heard it, but I like reading it. So some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus, the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered him. "Well, Jesus I know, Paul I know, Pastor Don I know." He said, "But who are you?" He says, "Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding."
Brian, does that mean you have a story of demons?
Do we? Yeah. Amen. Don't go looking for trouble, though. You know. So another thing God was speaking to me is, does your life line up with what you preach? I've run into guys, they'll preach Jesus, this and that, and you turn around and they're out doing everything the world does. They're carousing, they're out getting drunk every night, this and that. Is your life lining up with what you say? And I'm not saying we don't slip and fall, and sometimes you're at work and you hit your Kenny with them hammers, hit your thumb with a hammer, and something might slip out and say, "Lord, forgive me." I'm not saying that, but is your life, daily life, your coworkers, neighbors, friends, is it line up with what you're saying? You know, the greatest compliment I ever got was, there was a guy, he was Muslim, a Yemeni guy, and when I got sick when I had my kidney problems, he actually cleaned out the boilers for me. It was a nasty job. But yeah, I said, "Oh, man, thank you, man. Thank you, Kayat. I appreciate that, you know." And he says, "You know, Brian," he goes, you love everyone." And I was like, man, that stuck. You know, certain things in life just hit you like that. And I did. I really, like Bob said on Wednesday, if you don't love the people, don't try preaching to them. Don't try ministering to them. They'll spot a phony. But I mean, you know, I did. I had a love for this guy. And then I remember years went by, and I found out he was up in Oakwood Hospital. So I called PD. I said, "Pastor Don, we got to go see this guy. You know, I'm worried about his soul." And now most Muslims will not let you pray over them in Jesus' name or any of that. But he allowed Pastor Don and me to go pray for him. And a couple days later, he did die. But we don't know. We don't know if he accepted Christ or, you know, what happened. You know, I'd like to say right then and there he got up and started speaking in tongues and all that, but, you know, you just don't know. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." You know, to do these works, we need to have God's power. If you're running around doing everything in the flesh, you're going to get burned out, you're going to get tired. And just because it's a good thing, you might be involved in, I don't know, some ministry here, and it might be a good thing, but maybe it's not a God thing. It's not God, what God wants you to do. There was a time my wife was involved in several different things. I said, you need to pray about what exactly God wants you, because she felt burned out. Amen? All right, I'm going to go Old Testament here for Pastor Don's sake, just to cover me. Who wants to read? I'm kind of like, Ronnie Cadez, thank you. Appreciate that. I love when people volunteer, especially an officer of the law. Yes, it's so great.
All right, here we go. The Israelites did evil in the years of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites because of the power of Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelter for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help.
Stop right there. So they're being oppressed and they're, you know, it's coming down, you know. And finally, what are they going to do? Hey, we need God's help here, right? We can't do it on our own strength anymore. We better cry out to the Lord. Keep reading.
When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the land of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their hand. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the God of Amorites in those lands you live, but you have not listened to me.
Stop right there. So they weren't listening to God, right? So what happened? They got in trouble. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? We don't listen to God. God's telling you, don't do this. Don't do it. And you do it anyway because it feels right or it seems right. And you do it and you end up in trouble. You cry out to the Lord. Keep going.
The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash and... what was that? Epizite. Where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian.
Okay, so he's questioning God, right? So, one second here, because I should have did this. My apologies. A couple more verses. Techno error. I'll finish it off here. It says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand.' am I not sending you? Oh, pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, this is the key scripture here, what I'm talking about. It says, the Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. And that's the part of that story that really stuck out to me. You know, when God sends us out, you know, we feel like, oh, we're all alone. You know, you might go into the workplace, Fred, and feel like, I'm the only Christian, I'm this, that. And you might very well be, but you're not all alone. You know, we always forget that God goes, wherever we go, Fred, right? Shaking his head, I don't know, I'm scared. You got a story? Come on, give him the mic. I'm glad I picked you. Well, this must be prophetic. Yes. Get your coffee warm.
Actually, I shared this with my wife right after it happened. Since you know, you do feel alone at work, so I'm driving to work. You know, listening to Christian music and stuff, and so I'm walking. I had like a 2-block walk, you know, from the parking deck to the job site. So you know, I'm like, Lord, you know, use me today. You know, and I just, you know, I said, you know, feel like I'm alone, Lord, you know, but use me today. You know, that was my prayer. Usually I don't pray stuff like, I mean, I don't pray that going into work. You know, I was like, more like, give me strength, Lord, to get through today. You know, but this day, and, you know, it brought a scripture, you know, not this day. I said, not my will be done, let your will be done. Well, it brought that scripture back to me when Jesus said that. You know, he was going through all these trials, but he was actually alone because his disciples sleeping. They're supposed to be praying for him. You know, he gets up and they're all sleeping. So I'm sure he felt alone. You know, and so I said, all right, Lord, So I go in to work, go up to the office. Well, the safety lady's sitting in there. And she's, so how you doing today? You know, have a good day. You know, have a good weekend. I said, yes. And she goes, I said, how was your weekend? She goes, oh, I had a good weekend. I went to church with my dad. Right? And I said, oh, yeah, what church you go to? She goes, Rufford Methodist Church. And I'm like, okay, you know. And she's like, oh, I love that church. They just let everybody in. It's all about love. And she just starts going on. I'm just like, and I'm thinking, I'm just like, all right, Lord, should I just hit her hard? I mean, so she just starts telling me that my mom thinks that the Lord is condemnation and the Lord loves everybody. It's all about love. And she just throwing out, and I said, well, you know, you and your mom's right, you know, because the way I always look at the Lord is a good father. And a good father loves you, but if you're doing wrong, he's going to bring the punishment upon you. You know, so she's just looking, you know. So I said, because the Lord, if you look in the Bible, is a good father. You know, so that's how we got to look at him. And the father just don't show love all the time to his children because sometimes his children does wrong. You know, so she just looking. She didn't talk to me the rest of the day that day, but... But I don't know what she was thinking or something. But usually every time I see her, she's like, "How you doing, Fred?" You know. But the next day, she started talking to me and then she just started telling me about her relationship and what do you think I should do out there. And I'm like, "Oh, all right," So the Lord did use me when I was asked. You know, I mean, when I asked him anyway.
Amen. There's one thing I always tell the youth group. Now, I plagiarized it. I don't know if it was Craig Fosler or somebody said this a long time ago. No matter where you go, you're the majority. I'm like, what? He says, yeah, because you have God in you. God plus one equals a majority. So that stuck with me, too. It's like, oh. So we always try to impart that into the youth group.
It went off again, Brian. Brian, one thing, everybody always uses this, just like you are talking about what Gideon, you know, I am the least, what can I do? But if we look at the beginning in there, who brought God's word? Who brought this word to him? It was a prophet. He said a prophet was sent.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was the prophet? Imagine, he might have had to walk. He might have been somewhere else. Had to walk miles through this enemy territory or something to give this word. He doesn't even get his name mentioned, right? We don't do this for credit. When God asks you to do something, like Brian said, all he wants you is to do it. The outcome isn't important. That's not your choice. The same way where you guys prayed over that Muslim man in the hospital, main thing was you're obedient. Whether he answered the call or not doesn't make a bit of difference to you. You did what you were supposed to do. You did what God asked you to do. You can do no more than that.
Amen. It's just about being obedient, like Bob said. I'm going to read a little story. When I was in eighth grade, I read a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. And this was before I was even a Christian. And I really liked the book. You know, I was like, wow. I'm going to read a story here. It's called about a guy named Nicky Cruz. It says, Nicky Cruz remembers the David Wilkerson, no relation, he met on the streets of New York in the 50s. The skinny preacher who walked a message of Jesus' love into gang-owned neighborhoods that police were afraid to enter and faced. Without flinching, people most gangs didn't dare mess with. People like Cruz, who back then led the feared Mau Maus of Brooklyn. He remembers a forceful pastor who led ministries with worldwide influence like Teen Challenge and Times Square Church. A straight shooter he was, who never danced around anything. He was very straight, and he always said, wow, Dave, he's hard. Says the man, Nicky Cruz, counted Wilkerson as a close friend and a spiritual father for over a half century. And he talks about the past here. Nicky says this. I apologize because I highlighted it. I'm having a hard time seeing it, so I apologize for that. So New York in that time was bombarded by gangs, and we were the prime leaders of the gangs, Cruz said. Even Frankenstein and Dracula were afraid to walk in our neighborhood. But this skinny preacher, he wasn't afraid. He says, it just came out of nowhere. He says, no, there's no way that a type of guy like this can be so strong to stand on his own and to really, really take it. No way. Even this guy is a gang leader. He says, how can this guy come in here and stand on his own? He says he could take a bullet, he can be killed, but he stood because he was obedient to Jesus. Jesus sent him there to bring the message to the gangs. I almost killed him because I really was totally full of hate. That's when he told me that Jesus loved me. He says, Wilkerson never lost his heart for the world's needy people, Cruz said. The two of them worked together to run Teen Challenge, a network of rehabilitation centers dedicated to bring healing of drug and alcohol addiction and other problems. Later, Wilkerson moved back to New York to start Times Square Church, and Cruz set out to have his own evangelistic ministry. Now, this is what Bob said something on Wednesday. He says, you never know who you're going to reach. You never know who you're going to impact when you preach to somebody or talk about the gospel. So this is the key line here. It says, I don't think David thought I would become the evangelist I've become, Cruz said. I have reached over 45 million people with just the sound of my voice, Cruz said. And David was so proud. One time he told me, Nicky, you know, being in the ministry is not that easy. Sometimes I get discouraged. And sometimes when I get discouraged, though, I think about you, about that first confrontation I had with you, and that lifted up my spirit. And then I forget all about the hardships because of you. Says David reminded me of Jesus, Cruz said. It's like, wow. And if you know that story, The Cross and the Switchblade, they made a movie about it. And he was preaching to him. This guy would just come around, he'd smack him, he'd threaten to kill him. And how many of us would give up after the first time? You know, preaching to somebody, okay, hey, forget it. I'm shake the dust off my feet, let's go. Right? Right, Esther? Shaking her head, wouldn't we? Yeah. You feel justified, right? Well, he didn't give up. Dave Wilkerson didn't give up. And because of that, this guy became a great evangelist for the Lord. Amen? You know, the big thing we hear about nowadays is DNA. Everybody hear what DNA is? Your genetic makeup carries your genes and everything. You pass it along to your kids. I can see Paris. I see both your parents in you. Plus that gift of talking. It's really good. You're bold on the mic. I like that. Public speaking is what I mean. You know, everyone looks at my son, Evan, and goes, oh, he looks just like you. I go, no, he's better looking. You know. True. Amen. You know, I've read people in the horse race industry are offering to pay millions of dollars for the rights to have this the Triple Crown winner, California Chrome. You know, he won that Triple Crown first time in a long time. They're paying millions of dollars just so he could be a stud service for their... Now, that doesn't mean they're going to have a championship horse. They just want that DNA. They're going to pay millions of dollars for it. But, you know, we get the free gift of God's DNA, right? Because we look at other people in this room, and we see God's DNA in different ways. It manifests in different ways. And Dwayne, I'm going to pick on you today a little bit. Because my mom, years ago, when she comes in occasionally at church, and this happened years ago, where she used to go up to Burger King, you know, get her food and whatnot. So the first time she comes to church, she comes, hey, come here. She goes, who's that young man over there? I go, who? Bob? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I said, who? She goes, right there with the light brown hair and a goatee. I go, oh, that's my friend Dwayne. She goes, do you know every time I see him, I see Jesus? And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah. You know, I was like, wow. So I had to tell him that. And, you know, so wherever you go, make sure they see Jesus in you. You know, we have his power. We walk in his strength. And hey, let's just go out there and worship him today. Amen?
Who would you like to close?
Dwayne, finish
Dwayne.
Us up.
Dwayne.
Lord, we thank you for this message. Pray a blessing over each one of us that received it. Pray we not just listen to it, but apply it in our lives. Use us today. Bless the worship. Bless our teachings and the message to come in the service. And bless our whole week in order to come. And bless the fellowship afterwards, after the word. In Jesus' name, amen.